Thank you for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org. Now, here's Pastor Jim Cruz.
Man, it feels good to be home. Feels good to be home. So, my name is Pastor Jim. If you are new, this is our home church, and we don't live in Bakersfield anymore, but we are still always thinking about you guys, and you are a big part of our ministry in Thousand Oaks, and where we are doing ministry there at one of our church campuses there. So I don't know. Before we started this church, we didn't even know where Thousand Oaks was because we're from Bakersfield. So in Bakersfield, we go to Pismo Beach or Disneyland. So we bypass that whole Thousand Oaks area, but it is good to be home and it's good to be in person with you guys. So I was spending some time with Pastor Ron, who I don't know, I think most of you know this, but he's my father-in-law. So I married his daughter, Tara. And so we were spending some time with them. And he says, I think a lot of people don't even know we're in person. So I don't know if I'm supposed to say that because I know we're speaking online too. So I want to say what's up to all of you guys that are watching from wherever you're watching. If you are watching online, let us know where you're watching from. I think that's always fun for our tech team to be able to see that. So when we come to Bakersfield, we have to hit Victor's because they have the best burritos, at least in my mind. And so I just had a big old rice thing fall out of my mouth. So anyway, it's good to be back with you guys. As you saw in that video, I want to talk to you tonight about a reset. Why don't you turn to somebody next to you and say, it's time for a reset. Just let them know it's time for a reset. And I know technically we're in the second month of the new year, but I'm still kind of recovering from 2020. Anyone else still recovering from 2020? You know, honestly, it's been a whole year since I've been here with you guys in person, a whole year. But in a way, it feels like it's been a decade. How many are with me on that? It feels in a weird kind of way, like in the last 12 months, it was like actually 10 years. And so there are just some things that as I rolled into this new year that I was determined to change in my life. And I know we have to follow new guidelines and regulations and life is just not the same as it was. But there's a part of me, especially as a follower of Jesus, that good practices that were with us before March 2020, that somehow in all of the turbulence of everything that happened, from just the virus to the social injustice issues to the political season, it's just, there's some good practices that we just somehow got away from. Things that were a part of our faith even. And now that we're rolling into a new year, it's time to just hit the reset button and get back to some of these things. And for some people, to just start these things that you've never really started before. So if you have your Bibles tonight, I want to go to the book of Acts chapter 2. And I want to take you on a journey that I went on back in December. Because if you follow our daily Bible reading plan, you know that I think it was around December, we were in the book of Acts. So we were reading through the book of Acts daily in our reading plan. I believe there are probably some cards out in the lobby before you leave so you can follow along or go to the website and you could follow along with us. We read an Old Testament chapter and a New Testament chapter every day. So when I was reading through the book of Acts, you know, I always loved the book of Acts. But I saw something that I think I really never paid attention to before. Have you ever like read a chapter of the Bible that you've read before and you remember reading it before? Matter of fact, you go in your Bible, you know, and it's underlined, and it's highlighted, and there's little notes. You've read it before. You've studied it before, but you read it and something brand new just comes out to you. This is why we call it the living word. Our Bibles are alive. Like, because the Spirit of God has breathed on those pages and it gets into our soul. So I'm reading the book of Acts and I saw something that I never saw before. And it was this thought that this is the account, the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles, is the account of the early church. So after Jesus ascends to heaven and the Holy Spirit descends to earth, this movement begins. And the guys are literally fired up, right? The Holy Spirit comes down. They run out to the streets and they begin preaching the gospel. Thousands of people are believing in Jesus and becoming followers of Jesus. And so the book of Acts is kind of like the account of the early church. Now, a lot of people like to read the book of Acts like it's a history book. But what I saw in December is this isn't a history book for us as believers. This is a training manual. Like Christianity is not a belief. It's more than a belief. It is a belief, but it's more than a belief. It's a lifestyle. And there's a lot of people that put their faith in Jesus and it always falls short of moving into that place of lifestyle, when in reality, that was always God's intention. God has come here to this earth through his son Jesus, and Jesus died so that we could be made right with God, and then he resurrected from the grave so that we could be resurrected and filled with his spirit so that we could have a whole new way of life. Come on. Yeah, are you excited about this new way of life? This isn't just information that we're reading in these pages. This is transformation. This is like, I used to be this way, but Jesus came into my life and now I'm this way. So when I'm reading the book of Acts in December, I'm going, wow, this is my training manual. This is our training manual. And so I dove into it with this idea of like, I need to not just learn what the early church did as like this information, but I need to learn so that I might practice these things. So I want to take you to Acts chapter 2, and we're going to read just a few verses, and some of you that don't know who I am. So this is really, this church and this brand of Christianity, for lack of this tribe of Christianity, this is all I know really. I mean, Pastor Ron is my father-in-law, but he's my spiritual dad. He's my mentor. And so a lot of the things that I have learned and I've embraced in the Word of God has been under his leadership, and I'm super grateful for that. And I want to just dive into this because I know he's taught this to you guys, but I hope that when we talk about it tonight and look at it from a reset lens, that it will be very helpful for your faith and for your walk with God. So let me pray this. Father, I thank you so much. Oh, for just being home, and God, for being with my family. And God, we're here tonight to be so in tune with your Holy Spirit and what you want to speak into our soul. God, there are people in this place, there are people watching online that are in desperate need of a reset for their life, God. And I pray that you would use me tonight to speak your word so that, God, lives are changed, that people are healed, families are restored in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. All right, so let's look at this. Acts chapter 2, verse 42, it says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer, and everyone was filled with awe. Look at your neighbor and say, awe. Do it from a physical distance, all right? All right, okay. stuff like that is weird now. It's just like, okay, yeah, don't breathe too hard on people, all right? And it says that, and many wonders and signs were performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possession to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Now, the thing that really struck me in this particular passage was this feeling of awe. It was, God was moving so powerfully that people were just literally looking at each other going, what? Look what God just did. Look what Peter said. Oh my goodness. Look at all these people coming to Christ. Oh, wow. This was the excitement of what was happening in the early church. Let me let you in on something. That sense of awe was not supposed to end in chapter 2. That sense of awe is supposed to be happening in 2021. So my first challenge to us is, do we have that sense of awe? Is there a sense of awe when it comes to our life that we're living now in Christ, following Jesus, filled with the Holy Spirit? Because as I look at most people that have faith in God, that supposedly follow Jesus, there's not an awe factor there. They're just, yeah, they believe in God and they come to church and, you know, they maybe pray over their meals sometimes and maybe open the Bible, but there's just like, there's no awe. It's just like there's something that is just lacking. And one thing that I've seen in 2020 is that I call it a year of exposure. Because I know 2020 was rough in a lot of people, and people have died, and it's been a terrible year. But as we look at it, there are some things that were in our lives that, because we were so busy and preoccupied by some things, they just got exposed. It's like things that we didn't notice, all of a sudden we noticed because we're sheltered in place and we're not going as, like people's marriages. I have fielded more phone calls and emails about marriages in crisis in this pandemic. You know, I've had people that were like, hey, my husband used to travel the world on his job and now he's just home and he's annoying. And I wish his employer would call him away, you know? And it's just like, you know, marriages had to make some adjustments because, you know, everyone got accustomed to just kind of living like, you know, just two separate lives, but now we're all kind of together again, and even kids and adult children. And, you know, for the first part of COVID, we were still in this tiny apartment in Camarillo, and all, you know, my adult children are living in this apartment. We got this apartment not thinking all of our adult children would come with us, and we moved and they all moved with us. And so here we were very grateful we have our family together, but it got a little tight. You know, when the quarters are tight, you know, people tend to get a little bit more irritable. You know, the hot water's gone and, you know, you can't, you know, our kitchen was so tiny, like one person in the kitchen was too many. It's like another person like, hey, I got to get in there. When are you going to be done? And so it created some tension. But there were tensions that were already there. But when stuff got cut away, it exposed it. And I think, just like it's true for people's families and relationships, it was true for the church. Like, there are people that, you know, prior to COVID, they were coming to church, maybe even attending a life group every once in a while, and they have went off the grid now. Anyone know somebody? They're just like, they're gone. We know they're not dead. They're still alive, but they have just faded and just gone away. I was reading one statistic that pastors were sharing a lot, like back in the summer, that 1 in 5 active church-going people have stopped not just attending in person, because a lot of people are not attending in person because of COVID, but they've stopped living their faith altogether. They're not watching online. They're not engaging other people in faith. They're just kind of done. So I look at like 2020 as like, it's, I call it the year of pruning. Like, if there was a symbol for 2020, it'd be this guy. You know, how many own one of these? Like, they're pruners, right? But I think honestly, it's like, That's not really it. Like this is the 2020 version. This, I mean, come on. This is like stuff got clipped away and kept getting clipped away. Even that thick stuff, like snap, it just went out of our life. And then pretty soon we're looking at life completely differently because stuff that we thought was always going to be there just kept getting cut away. And I believe that in this time of pruning that we've been under, that the people that have faded away, you know, I know only God can see somebody's heart, but the evidence is clear that the way they're just gone means that they probably didn't have a very deep faith to begin with. It exposed it. When the going was a little tough, when there was a little turbulence, the people stopped going and staying active with their faith. So I want to talk about this because we look at pruning as kind of a bad thing, but you know, if you're a gardener in here, you know that pruning is actually a good thing. So could it be that 2020, the year of pruning, could actually become the best thing that's ever happened to the church? I really feel that it's going to be. And even though some people may not be necessarily engaged with their faith, I believe this last year that we just lived and continue to go through, even in 2021, is actually the best thing that could have ever happened to the church. Because what we have seen is that surfacey faith doesn't work. I call it vanilla faith. I call it vanilla Christianity. And it's just kind of like I have enough of Jesus where I feel safe, but I don't want too much Jesus to make me feel uncomfortable. That's what I'm talking about when I say no more vanilla. Like that has to go because that doesn't work in the midst of a pandemic. That doesn't work in the midst of such division in the political season that we're in. That doesn't work with the social injustice issues. Vanilla Christianity was never the intention of Jesus. He wants us to be all in and he wants us to live it all out. So now I'm preaching tonight, okay? I bottled this up for a year, so I'm gonna bring the fire hose out here on you guys, all right? So no more vanilla Christianity. Turn to your neighbor, say, no more vanilla Christianity. No more. Yeah. And you might even say, no more vanilla Christianity. Like you guys are here because I believe your faith is strong. I believe that God is at work in your life and you know it, and that's why you showed up tonight. And you know what? Typically, you know what I say? You know what I say? Showing up is half the battle. And now that we've been through it, showing up is like three quarters of the battle. The fact that you guys got here and are in person means that you're ready to engage everything that God has in store for your life. That's what I'm excited about. You know, when I say showing up is half the battle, that just means you're already halfway to your victory. Turn to somebody and say, you're already halfway to your victory just by being here. I think that's awesome. Now, let me give you, in our few minutes here that we have left, I want to give you the three benefits. And this is not an exhaustive list, but I'm just going to give you like Pastor Jim's top three benefits of being pruned that you might want to take note of. Because I don't want to like make you upset or anything, but the pruning may not be finished yet. Are you okay with that? The pruning may not be finished yet, but this is why this message is so important. And this is why we need to look at this and process this, because instead of like being really irritated at the pruning, I want us to be excited about the pruning, that God is going to do something in this season of pruning, because pruning is God's business and there's a reason for it. So number one, if you're taking notes, write this down. Pruning reshapes us into the image God has in mind for our lives. Pruning reshapes us into the image God has in mind for our lives. Do you know when God thinks of you, he already has in his mind what he desires your life to look like? And what's crazy about how God sees us, he doesn't even see us for who we are now. He sees us for who we are going to become. That's how God sees you. And this blows my mind, and this is a Karate Kid moment, because I love the 80s, and so everything that I think always goes back to the 80s somehow. And so if you do have Netflix, you have to know that Cobra Kai is an amazing series. They brought the Karate Kid back, even with Johnny. I love it. Okay. And Johnny's a pseudo good guy now. So anyway, as I digress. So how many remember the scene with Daniel-san and Mr. Miyagi with the bonsai tree? I don't know how many of you are 80s kids in here, but this was like one of the iconic movies of the 80s. You millennials and Gen Zs, you know, you got to go back and watch some good, real movies, all right? So go back and watch Karate Kid. That's your homework assignment for the week, all right? So Mr. Miyagi is training Daniel-san in karate, but part of Daniel-san learning karate is learning how to trim a bonsai tree. Now, I don't know how many of you have a bonsai tree, but bonsai trees are a real fun hobby for a lot of people, and it's very soothing and peaceful. A lot of people really find it therapeutic. And so in this one scene of Karate Kid, Mr. Miyagi is telling Daniel-san, like, he says, how do I know how what shape I'm supposed to trim this tree? Like, am I just going to keep pruning this tree? And Mr. Miyagi says, the image is already in your mind. And so just close your eyes and focus on the image of the tree. And then you trim according to the image that you have of the tree that you have in your mind. Now, see, I want to give you this illustration because God is doing that with our lives. And as painful as it may feel to have things pruned out of our life, everything that happens in our life, the Bible declares to us, are good for those that love God and are called according to his purpose. Now, this is probably one of the most quoted verses in our entire Bibles. Do you know that? Romans 8:28. But do you know after that verse, Romans 8:28, there's a verse called Romans 8:29. And what kind of annoys me sometimes as a pastor is we all want to, you know, dance and get excited and party down on Romans 8:28. When anything bad happens in our life, we're like, you know what, God's going to bring good out of it. But what we stop short of is declaring what that good is. And the good comes in verse 29. So let me put up these two verses for you. It says, we know that all things, look at your neighbor and say, all things work together for the good of those who love God, those whom he has called according to his plan. We just talked about that. This is true because he already knew his people and had already appointed them to have the same form as the image of his son. As the image of his son. So when God looks at us, his bonsai trees, right? What he's seeing is he's seeing the image of his son. And so the pruning takes place so that we will become more like Jesus in every experience we go through on this planet. It says, therefore, his son is the firstborn among many children. So there's a process going on where every experience that you have had, God is using that for your good, and the good is declared that you're becoming more like Jesus from the experience that you went through. That is the good part. So everything that you went through in 2020, God is using that to allow you to become more like Jesus. Doesn't that reframe problems? Every problem that is in your life right now is actually God giving you an opportunity for an upgrade on what kind of life that you live on this planet. Isn't that crazy to think about that? It's like, well, it is a problem, it's a challenge, but you know, I receive it because I know that the good that's gonna come out of it is that I'm gonna look a lot more like Jesus. just like that tree for Daniel's son is looking a lot more like the image that he has in his mind. Super important for us to understand this process. So how would you say that process is going for your life? I mean, just looking at your life, like the pruning that has taken place, the challenges that you've been faced with, maybe in your job, in your family, in your health, these big three things that just seem to be on everybody's mind. Like how are you doing in that process of those three things and hardships that may be appearing and God using those things to actually reshape you and reform you so that you can become more like his son? Just think about that point. And let's go to number two, the second benefit. Pruning draws us more deeply into the vine so that we'll have more elements to grow and become ultimately who God wants us to be. Now, I'm not a gardener. I'm not a landscaper. I don't claim to be. There are many of you in this building that know a lot more about horticulture and botany and all of that good plant stuff. But I know enough that I grew a pumpkin patch last year. I really did. I never got a pumpkin. But, you know, the vines came out, the flowers came, and then the birds came and ate the flowers. You know, this is a bad deal. But I learned something in the process of trying and attempting to grow pumpkins is that there are these things called sucker branches in like gardening. How many have ever heard of sucker branches? Okay, so if look around, the hands going up. Those are your gardeners, right? Those are the people that love to go out there and plant things. And so sucker branches, for those of you that aren't into gardening, are these shoots that a plant or a tree or whatever is growing will spring up and are actually there to rob the nutrients of the actual vine or branch or part of the tree that is actually going to bear fruit and that's actually going to help it grow. And so it's what I call sideways energy. And sideways energy, sucker branches happen in all of our lives, if truth be told. Sucker branches can appear in our life in all kinds of different forms. Anything that is getting your attention away from you growing to become a more mature follower of Jesus is really a sucker branch. A sucker branch could be too much social media. How many of you have caught yourself scrolling through your phone at other people's lives wondering, what are you doing? Like, these are real minutes of your day that you are wasting looking at somebody else's highlight reel of what their family's doing or what they're eating or something. You're just like, yeah, what am I doing? You know, it's like we could be so much more productive people. Like I told you guys before last year that your phones track now your hours of how much time you're spending on not just your phone, but on the apps of your phone. If you want a wake-up call for how much social media is sucking the life out of you, just let your phone in on that and just dial that in. And you can talk to somebody that's a little bit more tech savvy than I am to set your phone up to tell you. But I know my iPhone tells me, and it's pretty incriminating because those minutes add up to hours that add up to all kinds of time. So social media could be a sucker branch for some of you. Way too much time. And it's not that social media is bad. It's just that you're letting social media take up time that you could be doing something productive like reading the Bible. I don't know. Like you're letting social media take up time. Like you could be actually checking in on that friend that has just went MIA on the world. You could be like, I could send them a text and an encouraging verse right now, or I could, you know, scroll Twitter and see what is happening in the world. So social media is one. Media in general, like what I saw this year, and I knew this was a problem, but I had no idea it was such a huge problem. People are addicted to 24-hour news. There are some of you that I mean, you will quote things on CNN and Fox News, and you are walking little media people that you'll tell me all the things and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And it's just like, I know because you guys have Facebooked me. You know, I've gotten, hey, you got to watch this video before it's gone and da-da-da-da. And just like, oh, you know, and yes, we need to be in the know, but do we need to be in the know that much? I think, honestly, some of the ugliness in the divisions that we saw were really rooted in media really dividing us as people. And it's one thing if the world is divided out there, I get it. They don't know Jesus. But when I see people that I know from this church and Vegas church and my Thousand Oaks church, and they're on like my Facebook feed or a friend's Facebook, and they're fighting with each other. Like, we're supposed to be brothers and sisters in Christ. And we, you know what the world is going, they can't even get along together. And I'm not blaming media for all of that, but I'm really thinking that they have amplified the divisions. So maybe news has become a sucker branch for you. Maybe instead of turning on the news and having to know every single minute of every single day of what's happening, maybe it would do your soul good just to turn it off and just maybe give yourself like an hour a week just to catch up. That's all you need. Maybe not even an hour, maybe 10 minutes. You can get everything that's going on, you know, in just 10 minutes and once a week, and then you could be done with it. There was a guy full of faith back, I want to say it was Smith Wigglesworth, I think that's his name. But somebody was telling me the other day, like, he was doing miracles for God and doing all this stuff. And people would try to bring him the newspaper, and he would tell them, I don't want it because that thing robs me of my faith every time I read it. I was like, ooh, there's something there, like, that can speak into our space, sucker branches. And I could go into maybe relationships with the wrong person. Some of you are married to a sucker branch, but that's a different sermon. All right? All right? You better make sure you know before you say I do, okay? All right. So you single people, just realize that you don't want to marry a sucker branch. You want to marry a life-giving person. So you know, I can't think of a better place to do that than church. But I want to tell you that there are some of you, it's not a marriage context, maybe it's just a friendship context, people that you're hanging out with, people that you're spending time with that aren't really helping you move your life forward in your faith towards God. That's a sucker branch. Anything that is going to take away from you growing closer to Jesus and being more filled with the Spirit of God is a sucker branch. Is that make sense to you guys? I mean, that could be music, that could be movies, that could be so many different things. And I will let you identify your own sucker branch and not just sit here up here and just like judge you on all these different things. But what pruning does is it helps us get rid of our sucker branches so that we can really develop into the people that God has called us to be. Now, as I think about that, I will say this, because when Tara and I went for a walk in our neighborhood a few months ago, we had got like a new iPhone, and it was dark because, you know, the time changed, and she had her flashlight on her phone. And if you have your iPhone, this is iPhone. I'm still praying for you Android users out there. Come on. Can you just get with the program? We're all turning into iPhone. You mess up our group texts, all right? So just get an iPhone so our group texts will go through okay. All right. So you got the little flashlight icon. So I noticed something. When she got her phone, it wasn't like really bright. And she's like, this phone is terrible. And I said, I don't know. My phone is brighter. I looked at my phone, it's brighter. And I said, there's something, I think, on the setting. And so I didn't know how to adjust the set. I just held my thumb down on this icon right here, and then this popped up. And then I noticed that you know, there's four there's four little boxes here, and only the first one was lit. And so I took my finger, and I went all the way up to the top box, and all of a sudden, this flashlight was like, oh! It was like super bright, like we were shining the whole neighborhood. I was like, whoa, this is so cool. But what's so sad about that is we had just walked this whole walk on the lowest setting. And I'm like, we're tripping over stuff. And, you know, it was terrible. And in the meantime, we could have been full bright. See, when you have a lot of sucker branches in your life, you may not notice that your faith isn't real bright. You may not notice it, but it will get very noticeable when things get really dark. And what happened in 2020 is everything got really dark for us. And then a lot of us are like, I don't know why my faith is not able to guide me through this darkness. And I'm going to tell you, because the sucker branches had you fooled and believing that you had real powerful faith, but you were living on the lowest setting. And God is saying, I want you to be on the highest setting. And so pruning actually exposes that. That there is a higher setting that God wants you to live on. And once you're living on that higher setting, the darkness can't stop you, because that light always overpowers darkness. Come on, somebody. That's really good stuff right there. Okay, so here's number three. Here's number three. Write this down. And that is, a good pruning leads to a great blooming. A good pruning leads to a great blooming. Now, I know some of you have rose bushes in your yard, and this is the time of the year you go by somebody's yard that has rose bushes, and you're like, man, their yard looks terrible. Like, look at those little stick things poking out everywhere. I was super frustrated when we were living in Bakersfield. I went to work, and I left my front yard had these beautiful flowers, and they were so pretty, red, and I was like, oh, so pretty. I even like mentally like thought like, wow, our yard is so pretty. And then that day, our gardener came, and so I came home from work, and I come home, and it looks like he murdered my bush. Like all of the flowers were gone. I'm like, what did he do? I was so upset. I called a couple friends. I was like, oh man, you wouldn't believe like what my gardener did. And one friend that knows a lot more about gardening than I did, he said, hey, your gardener did you a favor. I go, what do you mean he did me a favor? Man, he murdered my bush. He goes, he didn't murder your bush. He was actually helping your bush grow bigger flowers and more beautiful flowers. That's why he had to trim the flowers that were on there, is because he was ready for the next bloom. So a good pruning leads to a great blooming. Because when you prune off those, the roots are forced to go down low and pull up more nutrients so that the next sprout will be even brighter and even bigger than the previous one. So yeah, it looks kind of awful for us for a minute or a week or maybe a month, but then the bloom comes. And I believe wholeheartedly, church, that we are in the middle of a good pruning as people of God, as followers of Jesus. I believe we are in a season of pruning. But this is why I am so excited, because God can do so much with a little. He doesn't need massive crowds. He needs 12 guys to change the world. He showed this in Gideon. Gideon's like, how are we going to face this army of all these thousands of people? And God tells Gideon, he says, you need to get the army smaller. And Gideon's like, say what? What are you talking about, God? He's like, no, it's too big still. I need it smaller. And so he dwindles the army down to 300 guys to face off with all these opposing, you know, countries and tribes that were coming against Israel. And God wanted everybody to see, not just Gideon and his army, but he wanted the world to see that he can do a lot with a little. And so maybe in this pruning season, that this is the best thing that could have ever happened to the church. Because I will tell you, prior to 2020, we were moving into a very, very powerless church. We were looking like the church declared in Romans chapter 1, where it says they had a form of godliness, but they denied the power. Listen to what Jesus says himself. He says in John 15, verse 2, he says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that he bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. Thank you. I missed that. So as you think about this, there are some good things that can be possibly pruned out of our life. But when God is in your life, he'll take the good thing and actually put something even better in its place. That's our God. That's our God. I saw a picture, and I'm going to end with this point. I saw a picture a few years ago. And this picture really helped me clearly see that first of all, I hold everything in my life loosely. Because at some point, because I've said, God, you have everything in my life. So I hold it loosely. I hold it with open palms. And in this picture, this is a cartoon, and it's real simple. And it's Jesus saying, just trust me to this little girl, but I love it, God. And she's got this little teddy bear, and here's this big, gigantic teddy bear. Now, some people say, well, that's theologically incorrect, Pastor. You shouldn't be playing that. But I should, because I'm not saying that God purposely takes things away to give you something better. I'm saying, honestly, that the world is the thing that robs us from things, and God is simply there to put something better in the place of that thing that was taken from us. And most of the time, to be truthful, it's the enemy, it's the devil, it's the adversary of our life that is robbing us. He's robbing us of peace all the time. He's robbing us of joy all the time. He's robbing us of relationship, like peaceful relationship all the time. And God is simply saying to us that the pruning actually makes room for the blooming, the beautiful thing that God wants to put in its place. So as I close, I want to just encourage you, because I know there's some things in your life that were good that you just think are just so messed up right now. I want you to give that thing to God. And I'm going to ask you to do something really childlike, and some of you may resist because you don't like to play along with the games that we do, but I'm just going to ask you to call out that inner four-year-old, all right? The one that gets you in trouble sometimes with your spouse. I'm going to ask you, you just pull out the inner four-year-old and just cup your hands in front of you. Because what I want us to do is I want us to just, as we're looking into the palm of our hands, I want us to imagine those things that maybe were pruned out of our life this last year, that sucker branch, even that maybe that good thing. And I just want you to imagine that. And I want to pray this simple prayer with you. And I want us to all give this thing to God. And just let God put in place of this thing the best bloom that you could ever experience for your life. Father, we thank you so much that, Lord, you gave us the book of Acts as a training manual, and we want to return to that spirit of awe. But we know that sometimes to be able to get there, we have to let go and let the pruning take place. And tonight, God, we hold in our hands that thing, maybe those things that have stopped us short of being that light living on the highest setting. God, we want to be that light. Help us to be that light. Tonight, we give you this thing, knowing that, God, in place of it, Lord, you have something so much sweeter, so much better, so much brighter, so much bigger. So tonight, God, we offer it to you. Just lift your hands up. Just give it to him. Just give it to him. And Father, in place of this thing that we just gave you, let your Spirit just fill and saturate our lives, our minds. God, we give you our minds. Lord, your word declares the mind governed by your Spirit brings life and peace. Lord, I pray for a renewing of our minds tonight as we just give ourselves completely to you for the bloom that you have in mind for our lives, for our church, for our community, for our nation, for our world. And while everyone is praying, if you're here tonight, you're far from God, you know you're not right with God. Maybe a friend dragged you here and said, you gotta listen to this guy. But here you are, and you know God is moving in you right now. You can feel it on the inside of you. Man, I don't want you leaving this place without giving you an invitation to do the thing that I did 30 years ago, to say yes to following Jesus, to say yes to receiving his Spirit to live in, on the inside of you. Because my friend, that is where the transformation begins. It begins on the inside. And if you're here tonight and you've never said yes to following Jesus, to receiving his Spirit, and you want to make that decision, I want to pray for you right now in this moment. All I ask you to do is simply raise your hand and say, Pastor, that's me. Would you pray for me tonight? I want to make that decision. I want to follow Jesus in my life. I know this is what I need. God bless you guys. At home, if you're wanting to make that decision, hey, we want to pray for you too. Just let us know. They're going to give you a message at the end of this talk, and you're going to be able to get some instructions on how you can say yes to following Jesus too, right there from wherever you're watching. But Lord, tonight, we just thank you for these that are making decisions to follow you, Jesus. We pray that you would fill them with your Holy Spirit. God, that today, Lord, their lives would be changed. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Man, it was so fun to be with you guys tonight. And I look forward to seeing you guys again. And if you need prayer for whatever reason, I believe you guys are up here for prayer. You're still doing that at a physical distance. But if you need prayer, God bless you guys. You're dismissed. We love you, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Here is our King. Here is our love.